companies that implement the CPM, okay, CPM, I'm once again telling you, customer profitability management, are able to see which customers contribute to the profit, which customers do not contribute to the profit, and which customers erode your profit. So when you focus on this, you clearly get an idea. Profitable segment, these are the segments which are not really contributing much to the profitability, and these are the segments who actually eat into your profit. So how does this go about? Performance measure reflecting long-term profitability, we are studying customer satisfaction and the brand loyalty. Okay. Product and service quality, brand and firm association, relative cost, new product activity, manage employee capability and performance. So generally, organizations start with this level. They have a right people and their capabilities are built. You create a new product, either innovate. Relative cost, yani the cost versus the value that you offer. So what is your value proposition and value that you receive? Brand and firm association. So how is your positioning and how are you relating it? Then you actually come to deliver the thing, and then that leads to the satisfaction. So all this leads to what? Your current performance is judged. Okay. And if that current performance is judged to be exceeding expectation or meeting expectation, customers will want to work with you on a long term, and therefore you get long-term profit. But one thing has to be kept in mind, you should be always knowing this segment gives you high profit, this segment does not give you or gives you only marginal profit, and this segment is actually eroding your profit. So customer centricity approach do not tell you to work forever with those segment which is eroding your profitability. Okay. So just to further strengthen your understanding about how customer satisfaction can bring you growth and profitability, here is the pictorial. This is JD Power. It's an institution or an organization which conducts regularly survey among automobile customers, and they publish what you call JD Power score of customer satisfaction, sales satisfaction index, customer satisfaction index, etc. That gives you the idea. Here you see that they will have an average, and then some companies above average, some companies below average. Now that opens out numerous questions among those organizations as to why are we here. So that's what triggers. But one need to know that it's not enough to know where you stand, but afterwards, what do you do towards improving satisfaction? That is very important. Okay. And why, we will see that. So identify and measure all customer channels for long-term profitability. Under that only, the satisfaction orientation, how does it give you long-term profitability? Customer satisfaction perception is a derivative. It's a derivative of a consumer's attitudinal and behavioral response. So when he gets certain things from you, or when he gets service from you, his attitudinal and behavioral response will occur. Now that will occur based on his post-encounter experience with you. Okay, post-encounter experience with you. In the post-encounter stage, customer evaluates your product and the service performance. Okay, and the second, compares it with his prior expectations. He came with certain things in mind, and he had your product taken or service availed, and what does he feel now? So he will try and match what he perceived before and what he purchased after buying your product or the service. Okay, so that analysis has a logical connect with growth and profitability. Growth and profitability. So that is what I'm trying to explain you, how customer satisfaction can be a catalyst of your getting growth and profitability for the organization. All under our understanding, identifying, measuring all customer channels for long-term profitability. So now you see there is a satisfied customer. He is very satisfied. So what will he do? How does he go? He will start repeat buying from you. He will buy more items from you. He will buy first maybe the same item again and again. Then he will buy different items from you. So repeat buying, higher prices. He will now know that you offer value, you offer quality, you offer additional service, you offer value to him. So he will start accepting the prices that you are providing. The prices that you have set are supposed to be recovering value that you have created so that you make profitable return. So, if the customer gets into the mood of arguing, disputing, then there is no fun. But you created value, this customer recognizes the value and therefore he pays you that value. Then loyalty in crisis, they are your strong foundation. You know, they will be with you even if the market shifts. So, they are your loyalty in crisis. Even if the competition tries to lure them away, you have created a barrier, you have created a switching cost. The cost to leave you and go to somebody else is going to be mentally very traumatic for such customers. So, they are like your loyalty in crisis. Word of mouth, they will start talking about you. Promoter, remember I told you, they will start talking about you. They will advocate for you. They will get you referrals also. That will get you more customer. They will make you one-stop shopping center. So, I told you, repeat is for the same item. They will start buying more and more items from you. So, you start becoming one-stop shop, you know, for him. So, more item from you starts buying. He is like considering you. Why should I go to 10 people to buy different items? Let's focus. He gives me value for money. I will buy from him. And you have such a large base of loyal, satisfied customers to whom you can easily take your new innovative products. You will find an acceptable base of customers who have no doubt about your product and the value that you bring. So, it is easy to introduce innovative product to them. What does this mean? All this thing I told you means you will get more volume. So, that means the growth has come. So, your organization gets the growth. But then profit, how? So, just to give you an idea, this satisfied customers was acquired first time. After that, he comes to you again and again. He is satisfied, you exceed his expectation every time. You are not actually investing in acquiring him. Cost of acquisition is always higher than cost of retaining. So, all these stages, your cost is only the cost of retaining the customer. So, equation goes something like this. Revenue minus higher cost of acquisition equal to lower gross profit. Now, if I put it differently, revenue minus no cost of acquisition, lower cost of retention means higher gross profit. So, you get a better profitability. So, that's where the customer satisfaction is linked to growth and growth in profitability both. I hope this fundamental is very clear. Furthermore, the customer satisfaction management can be a catalyst for organization profitability. Oh, I think I have explained this, but let me quickly connect. Customer performance consists of profits and growth is linked to customer satisfaction. Satisfied customers will do repeat buying of the same product. Satisfied customers will be willing to pay higher price. Satisfied customers also spreads word of mouth. So, you get free publicity and the new customer. He explores what other products and services he can avail from you. So, he starts making you one-stop shop. During certain crisis situation, you may fall back on your satisfied customers. And they may be willing to give you testimonials, but more from you, participate in your schemes, etc. So, they are your support backbone. In other words, this crisis can be represented in many other way, 100 ways. You get the ability to introduce innovative product first among your satisfied customers and garner that initial volume. So, that's what I explained you. So, key factor driving profitability, I think I briefly explained. During the innovation stage, the objective was to creatively generate new sources for capturing intelligence from customers and creating insight that could enhance the way we communicate and sell the customer. As you learn more from customers about their needs, now that you are connected, you are learning more about the customer's need and preferences, you have the opportunity to better target your marketing message, better target your marketing message, because you are now knowing them very well. Though they are limited in number and your clarity has come, you are able to develop better offers, you are able to service them through better channel or the right channel, which ultimately leads to reduced marketing expenses. Okay. And your conversion rate still will be higher. So, the profitability again improves because of this conversion rate increase and reduce marketing expenses. Okay. Identify and measure all customer channels for long-term profitability. Under that, again, furthermore, the key factors that will drive the profitability of customers insight initiative includes this: reaching high value customers and prospects. You are able to, with this insights equipped with, you are able to reach right high volume customers and prospects. So that is the first advantage. Capturing intelligence on a critical mass of customers to justify the fixed cost of setting up and managing the program. Okay, you are also able to justify entire schematic approach that you have developed to reach and tap maximum from that customers over a longer period of time, which requires investment. You are able to justify that easily. Generating incremental profit from increased sales to new customers and higher customer retention. So you not only generate, because they give you referral, they give you word of mouth. So you get a new customers, and existing customers' rate of retention will improve. Selling more to existing customers or winning back lost customer is also possible. Now that you are able to expand your loyal customer or related customer or satisfied customer base, you can go back to even some of the lost customers, make them understand what others now have to say, and request them to come by luring certain offers, reducing cost of delivering solutions and servicing customers. As you know more and more about them, you can realign your process, you can automate customer end of activities, etc. This leads to your reducing your cost, reducing the cost of delivering a solution. So there also there is a profitability linked in. Your overall cost of sales also going down, cost other overheads going down, so your net profitability opportunity also improves. So furthering our understanding about identify and measure all customer channels for long-term profitability, a real-time operational customer profitability data helps achieve real-time operational control. So here it goes into the different tangent where today the world offers you a lot of real-time updates. This also includes real-time operational customer profitability. So where you are most on the digital platforms, from generation of lead to closure, etc., it is possible to calculate real-time operational customer profitability, because your cost is also real-time operational cost, and therefore it is possible for you to exercise control. There are some basic checks that should be in place to ensure that your data, here the real-time data, but you should ensure that it is good enough. First and foremost, it should be complete. You must have all the relevant information. It should be accurate. Nothing should be inaccurate. The PIN code, the name, the contact number or email or buying data that has been recorded, not of other customer but this customer. So nothing should be inaccurate. Thirdly, the data you are going to use must be valid. So it should have a validation. So you must have some validation cues also, or a periodic validation cycle, so that you have validated that this customer exists, he purchases, etc. Finally, the data must be presented consistently. So you should be able to frame the entire consistent representation of that customer over a period of time that his association is with you. So with that as an input, customer satisfaction research. So one more thing which is key factors that drive profitability, the satisfaction research is very critical. You have to constantly do. I'm not getting into the verbatim of these two points, but it's that company must have a process and plan to have regular update on your customer satisfaction score at the level, because the satisfied customers are most likely to be your repeat customers. They not only be your repeat customer, they increase the total purchase from you. They buy your new offering. Therefore, the cost of acquisition is either minimal, zero, or very lower. So the cost of closure is also very lower, because they know your brand. They don't have to like sell many things. So you have to just be onto various core things, then the deal is done. New promoter score, that is NPS, is another thing that one need to really understand. Another way of segmenting, we have seen earlier segmentation approach: profitable, enough, more profitable, enough profitable, no draining profitability. Another way is to segment the profitability is by segmenting the customers who will promote your business and give your business a recommendation of 9 to 10 as a scale of 9, scale of 0 to 10. Many times, remember, if you would have seen that you have been questioned, will you buy? again, will you promote this to the other customers? So that's the score which they try to measure. That is an effort to measure the net promoter score. In this way, you can measure your success by how many customers that you have chosen, you know, they see a reason for them to promote you, because you are really one out of the 100, you know, as a lot in terms of customers, supplier of the service or a product provider, and that's where you come to know what is the probability of your getting promoted by your existing customer. Another framework called RFM, recency, frequency and monetary transactional analysis. So here the RFM stands for who bought most recently. So R stands for most recently, S stands for more frequently, and who make the largest purchase. So that's a monetary. Okay. Has been considered the best practice to measure this share of wallet and predict the future profit. So from your database, if you can classify the most recently purchasing, most frequently purchasing and most valued purchasing customers, then you are able to plan your strategy. You are able to also predict how will you get more share of wallet from them. So suppose you have a customer who is more recent, more frequent, but monetary value is not very high. So now how can you make him spend more with you? You can develop an exclusive plan, strategy, tactics for that. So that will also ensure future growth and profitability. But according to a research, there is another framework called customer lifetime value, CLV. This line just says that is a better proposition than RFM, because CLV is estimating. That the fact that the CLV is estimated and RFM is based on past transaction. So there is a counter argument against CLV is that it is an estimation effort, while RFM is based on the past data. So it is a data driven, but various research have shown CLV is a much better approach than the RFM. So what is this customer lifetime value? A key performance indicator for sale and marketing should be whether there is an increase in customer lifetime value expected for the business one period over another. So over various lifetime of association with you, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, a company has to visualize whether this customer is offering a significant value. So that's what over a lifetime. Okay, so that's a period over another period. So you have to compare it in the same period. To bypass the difficulties most have had in measuring CLV based on the profit, she and Don Peppers now suggest a metrics they call return on customer, which is based on cash flow in measuring customer equity, defined as net present value. Net present value is nothing but all cash flows expected over a customer lifetime calculated on the present day. So what I will get after 2 years, say 10,000, after 4 years, say 25,000, after 8 years, say it is 40,000, at the end of 10 years, I am expected to get 60,000. So net present value is that 60,000 after 10 years is equal to what today. So there is a discounting factor that is applied. Those log tables, you know, are available. Now that 60,000 measured after 10 years that you will recur may stand today at about say 15,000 or so. Now this 15,000 against that, how much cost that you are incurring today? So that will give you an idea whether this is a viable proposition or not. So that segment has to be considered for lifetime value tapping or not. So that's how it goes. CLV to contribute to profit to date metrics. Compared to customer anticipated CLV or contribution to profit to their actual contribution in real time to see what customer interactions lead to success or failure. So earlier we have seen CLV, then we have seen return on customer, and now what we are saying, compare customer anticipated CLV or contribution to profit. So that is the net present value to their actual contribution in real time to see whether what customer interaction lead to success or failure. So deriving a real time, that is an ongoing basis, does this lead you to getting more from the customers or not getting more from the customers? That's how the CLV dynamics operate. all under long-term profitability, that is identifying and measure all customers' channels for long-term profitability, not short-term. Activity-based costing, that is another subject matter under long-term profitability. It is about assigning cost appropriately. Activity-based costing, or ABC as it says, assigns manufacturing overhead cost to product in a more logical manner than the traditional approach to simply allocating cost on the basis of machine hour. So earlier, a cost was getting apportioned based on the machine hour for a particular product or a particular process that is required to produce that goods, etc. Now, activity-based costing has changed that paradigm. So there is the basic flowchart-based understanding that I will try to help you with. So what is this? So traditional costing, that is the one on the left-hand side, the flowchart that you see. Overhead by expense category. So there is certain overheads that a company spends, you know. These are the costs that irrespective of what you produce, how much you produce, but you still have to incur those costs. So there's an overhead cost by expense category. So then you decide, depending on what is the expense category it belongs to. So expense category, if it is say electrical, this thing as an overhead. So now that may be divided across all the cost center, or if there is a specific more tooling required for a particular this thing, then that will be assigned to a specific cost center. Okay, that's how the traditional this thing were using, and that will give a total cost assigned to a finished product. Now vis-a-vis this, in ABC, that is activity based costing, overhead of course are by the expense category. Okay, but overheads are divided by activities. So they are divided by activities. So activities can be lubrication, can be painting, etc. Okay, now when you do that vis-a-vis the cost center, means apply to all the applicable cost center either equally or you know in the ratio of this thing, here what it says, each product or a class of product have certain activities under that. So now you have calculated activity wise costing, so then assign that cost, that much part of the activity cost to this, because that is a product which is using this activity for that duration or a time or as the case may be, and therefore they should get charged for that. So that's how the activity costing as a center has emerged, and that will derive the finished goods overall costing. So that's what activity based costing as a key factor that drive profitability, that we are trying to understand. So another aspect is the profitability customers, profitable customers to profitable product matrix analysis. This is one has to understand. Output from the ABC analysis that we earlier did is often portrayed as a bell curve, plotting cumulative profitability versus customers. So ABC analysis is the Pareto analysis, if you know, which is say like 20% of the customer contribute to 70% of your sale. Okay, another you can say another 60% contributes to 20% of the sale, and last 20% contributes to 10% of the sale. So that's a Pareto analysis or an ABC analysis is the case. Output from the ABC analysis is often portrayed as a bell curve, plotting cumulative profitability versus customer. So here is an understanding of the bell curve that you have. As you say, as you can see, here there is a cumulative profit being plotted and product profitability is being plotted. So this is a series. Okay, so this is when plotted, looks like a bell curve. Okay, so zero cumulative profit, zero productive product profitability. When you have a cumulative profit say 50%, your profitability is this. When you reach 200% cumulative profit, your product profitability is 20%. So as you go more, this is at 30%. When you become cumulative profit is 300%, your product profitability is at about 30%, and then it starts tapering off. So this shows a bell curve Now, what is a well curve that has been used, etc.? We would like to check that out. So, profitable customers to profitable product metrics analysis that we did earlier, often some of the largest customers turn out to be the most unprofitable. So, what will come out of it is, you will find out some of your largest customers, they buy a lot of goods from you, large quantity, but they are the most unprofitable for you. A company cannot lose large amount of money even with the small customers. That also is another reality. It doesn't do enough business with the small customers to incur large losses. You are not doing that business to incur large losses, logical, okay, both things. You find out some large customers who are not giving you enough profit or they are unprofitable, or you find out a group of small customers, okay, with whom when you deal you incur large losses, and both this thing company do not want. Any company will not want to have this kind of a situation. So that is what the well curve helps you to identify and correct it. Only a large customers working in a profitable stubborn way can be a large loss customers. So large customers not adopting to the change, not adopting to your way of doing things, etc., may turn out to be the loss maker. Large customers tend to be either the most profitable or the least profitable in the entire customer base. It's unusual for a large customers to be in the middle of the total profit. So these are all generic statements. We have seen earlier that at times or more often, large customers may not turn out to be the most profitable. So that this slide is also delivering that. So how do you make, so one is to know from this, you know, the entire section is getting over here. You are under customer centric organization or an outside in organization, becoming an outside in organization, you must clearly know which segment are you serving. So essentially it will be the segment which is giving you the most profitable, neither one who gives you lower. You will do a business, but you will do a business with the focus to increase profitability from that. But you will not do a business where the segment that erodes your profitability. So well curve and such techniques helps you in that. So now we come to the next section, making the customers the focus of your innovation, making the customer, how you make the customer focus of your innovation. So delighting the customers through outside in innovation is not just profitable, it is hugely profitable. So that's ultimately why it has become a business imperative today. Companies have realized that those companies which have ventured into out-of-box thinking and created a product, they became hugely popular and therefore profitable. Now, therefore, the innovation-led approach is a business imperative today. Innovation is about creating and capturing value through non-traditional approach. You are doing things, everything differently, product, process, way you serve customers, etc. Companies also innovate on the value they provide. You have to see what can you do little which will enhance the value and that will allow you to recover value. Okay. That follows the purchase of the core product. So you have to also understand that this category of the customers are buying your core product. Okay. Innovation has to center around core product. You cannot be doing innovation, etc., around the supplementary product or the process. So what this point tells you overall under making the customer the focus of your innovation is that this is the domain of service plans, customer service, information and education and warranties and repairs, etc. So you have a core product, and when you innovate that, and while you package it and while you try to deliver it, you can create a manifold belief about you being the great product provider or a service provider by packaging it in a such a way that you pull in the service plans, you pull in the customer service perspective, sharing of information, educating customers on various things, handling warranties, etc., and the repair in a unique again ways. So there also innovation can play the vital role. Service innovations in typically focused on helping customers. So what is the role that a service innovation plays? Vis-a-vis the product is a different thing. Service innovation is typically focused on helping customer receive the full value of the product they purchase and use them. So they have to give customer not only the monetary cost, other costs we have studied earlier. Customer at the end should feel that he has received full value for money. So that's the role. innovation can help you in that. Okay. So that's what the power of innovation. So we are just trying to understand that. Delighting the customers, AKKA, also known as outside in innovation. So that is doing an outside in innovation is more profitable than the traditional management, that is top down, inside out thinking, because there are gains on both price and cost. How that is on pricing, firms are that delight their customers have higher probability of margin, means you can charge higher and get better margin because the customers just have to have your product. You are such a brand, or you are such a maker whose innovative innovation capabilities are undisputed. So people just want your product, and they love that. They want to wait for it. They may stand in a queue and pay you extra. So that's the state in which innovation puts any organization. So we have understood, friends, the complete aspects of transforming and making your organization's customer-centric or outside-in transformation, as the case is. And we have understood various nuances under that. With this chapter is completed. Thank you.